Hi, and welcome to Answers News on this Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. My name is Brian Osborne. I'm here with Patricia Engler, and we have a wonderful live studio audience. Will you guys clap and make yourselves known to the people watching? Awesome. Hey, that was really loud. Nicely done. Thanks for that, all right? But we are glad you're here. Welcome to Answers News, a weekly program looking at the scientific issues and social issues of our day from a biblical worldview perspective. And we'll dive into a couple of quick announcements before we get into the articles for today. First, if you're not yet seen, we have a women's conference coming. This will be March 31st through April 2nd. And this is actually headed up by Dr. Georgia Purtle, often does Answers News with us here, a speaker and researcher here at the ministry. I think this is her 10th year
doing the conference.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to get to be at this one because I've seen on Answers TV some of the previous conferences, yep. And they're just so good because, I don't know, like if you've heard much about women's conferences, but sometimes it's just like a little bit fluffy, but this is going to be so meaty, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it really is one of the most popular conferences of our ministry. It gets a really good audience. If you have not bought tickets to come and you want to come, do it quickly. My wife was talking to me literally just yesterday about trying to come and bringing friends and family to come as well. So if you get a chance, you will love it. You'll be blessed by it. Some wonderful speakers going to be there, both in-house speakers and people from outside the ministry will be part of that conference. Check out the website for more details on the Rooted Conference coming up January 31st. And then also just want to mention very quickly our pastor's conference coming up October 4th through the 6th. This is for Christian leaders, so really any Christian in general who wants to have a good biblical worldview to engage the culture around them. That really can't be anyone at once.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I was talking to some friends, and they got to go to this past one in October, and were saying like they got so much out of it. So it's for any Christian really to really learn how to think biblically in the times that we're in today, which is so important.
Kind of is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's kind of what our ministry is all about. It really is giving you a biblical worldview to engage the culture by standing on God's word. That sounds so simple, but it is so necessary to stand on God's word. As we stand on God's word, we got answers about all sorts of stuff, whether scientific issues or social issues, and we'll kind of give some of those today going through the different titles for the day during the topics. So we'll dive into our first article for the day. And typically our first article is a bit of fluff and stuff, and this is pure fluff, but pretty funny. This is from the Babylon Bee. So if you don't know the Babylon Bee, they're a satirical website, so it's not real, right? And so some of the almost heretical thoughts in this article, they're not real. Don't be too offended by them. But the title reads like this: Ark Encounter Theme Park Adds Baptismal Log Flume Ride. Which is, I love the picture. Like coming out, who wouldn't want to do that, right? Come out of the door, go down the log ride, hit the water. That would be awesome. I texted Ken, when do we start fundraising for this, all right? I don't think we are. But anyway, the article is pretty funny. It says this, that it's quoting here Ken Ham, who didn't really say this, but they're acting like they're quoting him. Our Ark Encounter is specially designed to offer a gospel message to everyone who visits, which, by the way, that is very true. If you
Absolutely.
Do come to the Ark Encounter right at the Christian Museum, you'll see the gospel literally everywhere. And if by the end they accept Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, they'll have an opportunity to ride this flume directly into a baptismal tank to seal the deal.
Gotta wonder like how they come up with this stuff.
I know.
Laying at night. I mean, at the risk of sounding like the armchair curmudgeon, I'm like a little young to be a curmudgeon. But yeah, some of the stuff about baptism I found like mildly heretical, cleverly written heresy.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved how they said, like pretending to quote Ken Ham, how the baptismal flume is the first step in the continually evolving Ark Encounter. So just
You've
like
got
little
to do it
jab
in the Australian
in there.
Accent. Come on now.
Continually evolving Ark Encounter.
Nice. You nailed it, right?
Except it's really hard to stop going in an accent when you get going. It's just so hard to shake
it. Hey, keep it up. I like it. No, there's no problem
at
all.
Just the whole show. Keep going.
And they're so creative while they're writing this. Like it says, this, the designers confirmed that the ride will have legitimate means of baptism due to the riders being fully immersed in the water, as the Bible commands. High-speed cameras with advanced technology will be used to confirm full immersion. And if you're not fully immersed, you can ride it again for an added fee. And so whoever thinks of this stuff, really creative. Again, I want to say for people just joining, not real, okay? Don't send letters.
Good disclaimer.
All right, but it is really fun. And it's a lot better than all the other articles we're covering for the rest of the show. Moving on to something a bit more serious, in the case you did not know, according to this article, universe is already in its sixth and final era. So according to this, it goes through a big scientific summary of the Big Bang model from a secular perspective, the idea how seculars try to use this worldview or this idea to explain where everything came from based on a Big Bang ideology. And they say there are six major eras to that particular model. And basically, they say this, from cosmic inflation to the primordial particle soup to the expanding cooling aftermath, the universe went through many important stages in our cosmic history. Now watch this. About 6 billion years ago, they know that absolutely, stated very dogmatically. However, a new form of energy began to dominate the universe's expansion, something called dark energy, which now dominates our cosmic fate. The era we're living in now, where dark energy dominates in the universe's expansion, is the final one of our universe. All told, there are six different eras that we can break the universe into. We're already living in the final one. And so that's the general kind of nutshell of the article. We're in the final era of our universe. And so we need to take advantage of it in these last billions of years that we have.
I mean, technically, from a biblical perspective, we are in the final era of earthly history in that sense.
That's right.
So, I mean, the time is short and, like, you know, from a biblical perspective,
right?
But there's just a totally different worldview going on here. So they're, of course, coming from the long age perspective, which you can't fit into the Bible. All the order of events in the evolutionary cosmology is totally different. You can't just make it fit with the Bible.
Yep.
And, of course, another, like, really big difference is their version of the story, like the universe is ending in this new bleak death that they've written about here. And that's it. There's not really hope in this perspective. So that has some real implications for us living now, because, I mean, if ultimately nothing matters, where does morality fit into that? It really doesn't matter how you behave, how you live. There's not really a point to life. There's not a point in treating other people well, because in the end, everything's just going to end in this death. Whereas for Christianity, this earthly life is just the beginning, and actually eternity is even more real. So we need to live here in light of that, and we have hope because of Jesus. So totally different ending and implications from that.
And the two worldviews really could not be more different. I mean, if you really think about it, in the Big Bang model, which, by the way, the Big Bang in a nutshell is basically what the seculars try to use to explain life and universe without God. It's inherently anti-biblical, atheistic at its actual origin. So it's a non-biblical worldview. And in that worldview, you start with nothing and you go to nothing. Like, as you kind of mentioned earlier, in the Big Bang model, you know, eventually everybody dies, we cease to exist, there's no memory preserved of anything, therefore it's like we never existed at all. Who cares about anything? Why not live like a crazy person, do what you want? There would be no absolute set of morality within that worldview, because there's no God to give you morality and to hold it steadfast. And so, as you just said, these two worldviews are very, very different. But within the biblical worldview, not only did God make the universe, but he made us in our image. And going back to the history in Genesis, we find our identity in the fact that we're made in God's image, but also we can explain why this world is so broken. We're broken by sin, recorded in Genesis chapter 3. It's affected everything. Romans 8:22 says that sin corrupted the whole of creation. So within a biblical worldview, we explain our origin and our value as humans made in God's image, why we're broken because of sin, and the answer to all these problems is found in Christ, the last Adam, the God who became flesh and lived the perfect life, and he paid the perfect infinite debt we can never pay on the cross. Then he rose from the grave, defeating death. If you put your faith in him, you'll be saved. And by the way, since he ascended into heaven, we are living in the last days before he returns. So technically, as you mentioned before, we're in the last days, biblically speaking. But the most important thing is, what are you doing with these last days, and where have you put your faith in these last days? As we often say here at the ministry, there is no neutral. Everybody's got faith. The question is, where do you put your faith? And there are two options, either in man's ideas or in God's word. Those are your two foundational options.
Absolutely. And like what you're saying about how we're made in the image of a logical God, it makes all the more sense to put our faith in God's word, because that's how we actually have a foundation for thinking about logic and for thinking about
truth.
Right. So in this article, he's making these predictions based on his models, but that assumes that we live in a logical, orderly universe that follows natural laws and you can reason scientifically. But that foundation for reasoning scientifically, for having logic, for being in a logical universe, that doesn't actually exist within a materialistic worldview. Laws of logic are not material.
That's right.
There's a really good article on our website, Atheism and Irrational Worldview by Dr. Jason Lyle, and it really breaks down why that's the case, why logic is founded on a biblical worldview but not a secular one. Definitely recommend looking that up. And then just pointing out some critical thinking things for this article, like what you pointed out about the first paragraph, is this: the author makes an awful lot of statements which are just hypotheses, but they are stated as though they are fact and you can't question them. And that's just not true. Some of the things, some sentences instances that he's talking about, saying that by applying the laws of the universe and comparing our observations about them, we can determine where we've come from and where we're going, saying it as though it's a fact. But within science, like, our observations can't be used to prove conclusions like that, to conclusively determine things.
Because
we don't see the big picture of reality. We have to try to put together what we think we know. We can't be certain that we're arriving at the right conclusion from that, because we don't know the whole truth of what's going on. God does, and he has revealed that to us.
And they're basically kind of saying that you can look at present-day operations in the universe, natural operations of physical laws, and you can look at those, and you can extrapolate backwards to how long ago things started, and then where we'll actually end off later on in the future. And they're assuming you can do that dogmatically by only looking at natural processes. But that thinking is flawed. It's kind of like assuming, let's say you go out to the highway, and you see a car coming at you at 70 miles an hour. And you start doing the calculations. Okay, based on the direction the car is going at 70 miles an hour, that means that car must have started in California 4 days ago and been driving ever since to get here at this point right now. When the truth is, the car could have got off on the exit just 1 mile up the road and has been driving just a mile, and you see it now. And your wrong assumptions give you wrong conclusions about where it originated and how long it's been traveling. And it could give you wrong conclusions about where it's going in the future. And so there's a limit to our present-day observations and interpretations. And as we often say, if you start with the wrong assumptions, especially about unseen history, you'll likely get the wrong conclusions. And this is why some really brilliant scientists, like, you go through the article, it's kind of cool and sad, because they're doing so much hard work in mathematics and physics, trying to figure all this out from a secular perspective. They're doing some hard science, but with the wrong assumptions about history, therefore they're getting the wrong conclusions.
Yep, for sure. I contacted our resident astronomer, Dr. Danny Faulkner, about this, just seeing what his thoughts were, and he said some similar things, just about how these scientists in this article are talking as though they basically know everything, but these are all even based on new things that have been discovered that overturn previous things I thought before that, so we just can't assume that we know everything. And he was even pointing out some errors that this author made in the article itself. So yes, don't be intimidated by people using big language that tries to devalue the biblical worldview or conflict with it. It can sound persuasive, but at the heart of it, if it conflicts with the Bible, it's a lie. All lies are going to fall apart. You'll be able to break it down.
And really quickly, actually, Dr. Danny Faulkner just released a new book called The Heavens, A Different View. And we just did an interview with him last week on his brand new book. And it's really well done. It's kind of like a coffee table book in some sense. It's got beautiful pictures, some of them by him, some of them by other astronomers, amateur astronomers taking photographs, beautiful photographs of the sky, nebula, all sorts of great stuff, and giving you a biblical understanding of these phenomena. And it is so powerful. If you want more teaching like that, you can check out the book, his brand new book, or go to our website and look at so many articles talking about the Big Bang, why it doesn't work biblically, why you cannot squeeze that idea into God's Word for numerous good, logical, and biblical reasons. Check out our website for more on that. But we spent a long time on that one. Got to move on to the next article, although I might rather want to stay here.
Yeah.
Next article is this. Twitter suspends conservative blogger Matt Walsh for saying, get this, that men are men. How dare he? All right. And so I thought I'd just read the tweets that he tweeted that got him kicked off for the weekend, just so you kind of know what we're talking about here. The first tweet was this. He said, in his tweet, the greatest female Jeopardy champion of all time is a man. The top female college swimmer is a man. The first female four-star admiral in public health and service is a man. Men have dominated female high school track and female MMA circuit. The patriarchy wins in the end. And so in kind of a snarky, kind of snappy way, he's basically saying that according to you, men are being better women than women are being women.
And just the way he pointed that out, the patriarchy wins at the end, just shows some of the inconsistency within the line of thinking that we're starting to see now, where in theory they're supposed to be for women's rights, for feminism, for these things that aren't actually consistent with what's going on here. Yeah. So holding those kind of double standards about whose rights should win, that kind of reminded me of in the novel 1984, classic there, you had George Orwell talking about this thing he was calling double think, which was going on in places where humans are trying to control and define what's true. If you get rid of God as the foundation for truth, and then humans have to make up their own ideas of what they think is true based on their feelings, you're going to have conflicting ideas about what people think are true. So then how do you handle that? You almost have to believe this doublethink thing, that you can believe inconsistent conclusions at the same time, which is absurd. Reality doesn't work that way. So people are trying to be forced to think as though reality works that way, which it doesn't. And then people like Matt Walsh are trying to stand up to that a little bit. So,
and then, by the way, we need to say that Matt Walsh, we have no official connections with him. We don't endorse everything that he says or thinks or believes, not saying that at all. But we're just pointing out how he got canceled for saying some pretty fundamental realities that actually find their origin in God's word. How do we know what male and female actually are? How do we know there are only two genders fundamentally? How do we know what sexuality is? How do we know what marriage is? All that stuff finds its origin in God's word, starting in the book of Genesis, right? And so he's really quoting some basic ideas that are rooted in God's word, and that's what we're talking about. He also said this in the second tweet. He said, in reference to his first tweet, "I am not referring to an individual person as if she is two people. Everyone else can run around like sounding like maniacs if they want to, but I will not be participating. No, thank you." And according to that, according to Twitter, he actually broke their hateful conduct policy, which prohibits targeting, misgendering, and transgender individuals, and so targeting them. And so he broke their codes of conduct. And make no mistake, they have their own morality, their own worldview, and that if you break their own morality, then they will target you for that. They won't be tolerant of any other views. They claim tolerance, but they can't be because they've got their own ideology. You see that at Facebook and in Twitter and many other places as well. And if you think about it, what is this movement of sexual identity politics or that whole moral revolution or the transgender revolution? It's really a pagan ideology that basically says there is no creator and there is no created order. There's no set foundation for understanding what male and female are. There's no real purpose to sex within marriage. Marriage is whatever you want it to be. All those things are just nebulous. So you can do, like you said, whatever you want them to be. And you can decide truth for yourself. You can worship yourself as your own God. You decide truth. You're your own God.
All based on feelings, right?
All based on feelings. It's that great Disney message, follow your heart, which is a terrible idea. Your heart's deceitful and wicked. Don't do that, all right? But it's that whole pagan ideology that wants to abandon God and his created order. And again, it boils down to, do we obey God in his created order, or do we rebel against it? And that's really what this is.
Yep, and in the end, like we were saying earlier, all eyes have to fall apart on some level. So even when everybody else is running in a direction that goes against what we would know to be true, it is better in the long run to be a little bit rejected now for standing on a foundation that's going to last, truth, than to fit in right now by standing on a foundation that is going to fall apart.
Well, because human beings are made in God's image, they can look at this illogical, nonsensical ideology after a while and say, this cannot be right. This cannot be true. There's something off here. And they'll be looking for the right answer.
And we're seeing that happening within culture already. Yeah, even people like Dr. Dawkins, as we've talked about earlier on this show, are starting to see, wait a minute, this can't be right.
And let's understand this too. You know, oftentimes I think many Christians are duped into the idea that, well, our goal is to be the nicest people on earth. And we should be nice, right? We should love people, no doubt about that. But we speak truth in love. We do both of those, truth in love. And the most loving thing to do is to speak truth, to say, hey, no, there is a set gender. There is set sexuality. God has a plan for marriage. He made those things. He knows how they work best. Follow his plan. That's best for you, for society. God's word is true, and that is best for you. And I love you, so I'm going to tell you that truth. And so in a real sense, we're trying to intervene in love and be obedient to God's command. The worst thing we can do as Christians now would be to compromise with the secular thinking of our day, pull back, not engage, and say, yeah, do whatever you want to do. That would be a lie. It'd be disobedient to God, and it's horrible for the person you're actually just dismissing. No, we stand, we defend, we proclaim in boldness and in truth and love.
There you go.
And I'll stop preaching for a little bit. All right, so anyway.
That's good, though.
All right, moving on to the next article. Judgment Day for nurse who dared to wear a Christian cross has finally come.
Speaking of inconsistent standards,
My good heavens, right? And so I believe this is out of the UK, out of the United Kingdom, and a particular nurse there, she was basically attacked by her bosses. She was harassed because she wore a necklace with a cross at the end, and they were telling her she could not wear the cross or the cross could not be visible because it violated different policies within the hospital. They actually accused her or said to her that you can't wear it because it could spread infection. Not sure how the necklace with the cross spreads the infection per se.
Yeah.
And then it violated dress policy. But there's a quote here from the article that says this, that her employers gave no real thought to the fact that others in the same hospital were wearing religious apparel and they weren't being attacked at all. They were allowed to wear it. So if it's a hijab, It's fine. You can wear that. Something of a different religion, not a worry. But the cross was offensive.
As well as like just your basic rings and neckties and things that might actually be an infection risk. So there's this real double standard there and some inequality. So she's trying to point out this is supposed to be, in theory, environment of equality. And it is not. I'm actually being discriminated against right now. And she fought for, what was it, 2 years?
2 years. A two-year campaign.
So, I mean, standing up for what was right in her conviction. So that's cool. But yeah, just those comments on how there was no real thought that went into that just goes back to that whole, there's no basis for logic within this view that there's no truth, feeling is king, and then truth is basically a matter of who has the best rhetoric, who's kind of the most trendy right now to follow, and then they win, and everybody else, namely if you have a biblical perspective, would lose out. So it's, again, a double standard of equality there. So it's good to see people standing up on their convictions and actually demanding some justice in that sense, but gently, graciously.
And I need to point out, just to be very clear, she was exonerated, praise God, by the employment tribunal. And so they ruled in her favor that she was wrongly discriminated against. So that's a good thing. It's a good news story. Praise God for that. We hope for more of these, but it also really kind of highlights the attack in the Western world against Christian ideology, Christian values, and different things. And so it also reminds us to stay vigilant and aware.
For sure, yeah. And it's like not any reason to panic, of course. We see society basically crumbling around us, but that doesn't mean that it's time to freak out. And
it's really not, that's right.
Yeah, so like it's just, you know, we trust God's sovereignty, but it does mean that we need to be aware of what's happening, and now is not the time to compromise, basically. It is the time to choose not to compromise is what it comes to when push comes to shove. Land on the authority of God's word.
I'm seeing a theme with this show. I like it.
Definitely.
All right, we'll go on to the next one. It's a bit different. This one's very interesting.
Definitely.
So in historic surgery, man gets new heart from, get this, genetically modified pig. And so a man named David Bennett, who was 57 years of age at the University of Maryland Medical Center, he was given a heart transplant, and he did not qualify, didn't say why, he did not qualify for a human heart transplant. And so the doctors gave him two great choices, either just plain old die or try this really experimental transplantation. There you go, xenotransplantation, which is where you're importing a foreign part into a human body from a different animal. So they wanted to give him a pig heart and try that out. And so he went for it because you had two options, die or try it out. And so he went for it, and it actually was successfully.
So far, yeah.
So far, so good.
You got to love what he said to the surgeon, right? They were having this conference beforehand, and the surgeon was saying, this is an option, and it's a pig heart. And he was like, is he understanding me? And then the patient was like, well, will I oink?
So, will I not like bacon anymore? And I mean, that may be worth knocking
it
doing.
It would feel a little odd to know that you have like the beating heart of a pig in your chest while you're eating bacon. Like there'd be a little bit of cognitive dissonance.
Maybe a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it does highlight kind of an important issue that there is a real shortage of organs for people who need transplants in our nation, for different organs, whatever those organs might be. And I got a family member right now that's kind of dealing with that and waiting for an organ. He's on the donor list and others as well. I'm sure you guys have those as well. And there are a lot of people waiting because we live in a fallen, broken world and things break down, especially over time, and people need things to be replaced. And so there's a long list and there's just not enough organs to go around. So if this could be used in an ethical, biblical way to help people, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, and like he said, just thinking about this biblically here, when there's new technology that comes up, especially biotechnology, just some questions that are helpful to ask, like, is this okay or not? One, of course, is does this involve the destruction of human life? Because obviously that would be very unbiblical. So if we're talking about anything involving embryological research that results in the destruction of the human embryo, that, like, of course, would not pass muster right there. And then the next step, so this passes that, we're not destroying any humans in this process, we're actually saving them. The next good question would be asking, is this technology mirroring the cause of the fall? So basically humans trying to be like God, invent their own moral standards, and some biotechnology that we're seeing out there. For instance, there's one called transhumanism, which is basically how many like new upgrades can we make to humanity to try to become like God ourselves. So that would be not passing. So it's playing into this human pride issue. So that would be mirroring the cause of the fall, Whereas something that's a lot more biblically defensible is something that mitigates the effects of the fall. So like you were saying, sin-cursed world, organs break down, death is obviously a huge issue.
That's right.
So in this case, this is life-saving. It's mitigating the effects of the fall. That's more biblically defensible. Eventually, like, are there some lines that we need to think about in the spectrum of how many animal body parts should you be able to incorporate into humans?
Two,
human?
Three, like, four. Yeah,
so there's some more questions to think through, but so far this passes those tests, and the man seems to be living. We'll see if he still likes bacon or not after this.
And they did some amazing operational science in the surgery. They had to change some of the genes, where the genes function, to make the body accept the heart. Mm-hmm. There were three genes responsible for rapid antibody mediated that were changed, that were actually related to that. They changed those three genes. They knocked out some other genes. They replaced six human genes to accept a pig heart. I mean, they did so much work, and I guess gene splicing, you might call it. It's amazing what they did to make the body accept it. So we're thankful for the advance in technology, and technology should be used for man's good and God's glory, but in accordance with God's standard, as
yes,
you were saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm still most concerned about the bacon thing. I think you're right. That's the biggest question we got from that.
Bacon's like the one good thing that came from the fall, really. I mean, it requires death, but it tastes amazing. So, I mean, that's arguable, but... just my personal opinion.
And you know, there's no death in heaven, so therefore there's no bacon in heaven. There'll be something better than bacon in heaven to eat.
We'll go with that.
That's
absolutely.
Heaven. That's amazing. Yeah. All right, but anyway, next article will be this one. I love this one. We can only date humanity based on the fossils that we have. Fossils that clearly foreshadow modern humans are roughly 30,000 years older than we thought.
Clearly foreshadow, meaning it's a human fossil.
It was literally a human fossil.
Fit their timeline that
And this is our weekly installment of, oh no, this particular find changes all that we thought about evolution.
Yeah, right, because in previous articles or studies that would have reported on this same fossil, it would have given you a different date, but then stated that date as if it was a fact. And now, you know, we're reading it again with a new date. So these aren't even new fossils. It was just a new analysis of a fossil that we'd known about.
Yeah.
And it set the date back.
Backtracking just a bit. These are human bones found in East Africa many years ago. They were dated to be roughly 150,000 years old to 200,000 years old based on secular interpretations within their secular worldview. And then they took these same bones, dated them with a different method. Same wrong assumptions, though. Different method, and they said, oh, based on this method, these bones may be upwards to 36,000 years older than we previous thought. And why is this important? Well, according to the article, and I love when they admit this in their articles, it says why it matters. For too long, the official archaeological date, the age of the oldest known fossils for Homo sapiens, people from East Africa, hasn't matched up with evolutionary models of human history. So for too long, the timeline's not matched up with the bones. But out making these bones older, finally the timeline matches up and it all falls into place now.
Yeah, doesn't that just make a lot of sense? You see that happening often is because evolution would require a lot of time to happen if it were even possible. So then you see dates constantly being pushed back. And if a new date fits the timeline, then it's accepted. But what's kind of interesting is, like, say a fossil has something about it that really doesn't fit that old age timeline. Is the date ever pushed forward? No. So think about, there's been 85 reports, at least a study from 2019 found about organic remains found in fossils.
Yeah.
So think about soft tissue
That's
and
right.
dinosaur bones, stretchy blood vessels, red blood cells, things that should not last millions of years old. Do those new findings push the date of dinosaurs forward at all? No, it's only what interpretations you can fit within an evolutionary time frame,
That's
and
right.
then it's stated as fact.
And that really just shows the worldview is the starting point. Things must fit within that worldview, that ideology, that particular narrative. It must fit within that narrative. If it doesn't fit, then we get rid of it or put it where we think it does belong.
Yeah.
And you see that again and again. And I love how in this article, they talk so much about how this new find really kind of gets things in order, makes things knowable. But then at the very end, they said this scientist who found the bones and her team, they were clear about one thing. This is far from a definitive conclusion on the origins of humanity.
So by the way, we don't actually know.
Yeah.
Even though, like, early in the article, it was making comments like, well, it was saying that there's this really large margin of error. So 22,000 years, plus or minus, that they're supposed to be able to pinpoint this date at. But either way, the oldest known Homo sapiens in Africa have officially become much, much older. So they've officially become older, but actually, like, the real age of the bones has not changed at all. So they're just clearly stating their interpretations as fact. That's what you see. Just think critically about it, think biblically. We know that long ages cannot fit into the biblical time frame in this sense. You can't insert them after Adam. There's those genealogies in Genesis that record historical details, father's ages at the son's birth. You can't fit them before Adam because then you have millions of years of death before sin happened. So it doesn't line up with the biblical time frame. We take God's word as the authority, and it makes sense to interpret these bones from a biblical perspective. So it'd be a post-flood, post-Babel population.
And God's the eyewitness. Like, he was there, and he told us what happened in his word. We can trust it on all things. Yep, good stuff. We'll squeeze in one last article here at the end, and then we'll be done for today. Reformed church in America splits as conservative churches form new denomination. And this is not, of course, the first time this has happened. There have been multiple denominations, even here in America, that have split over these sorts of issues. It says in the article that there's a split in the Reformed Church of America, where 43 of these different churches split from the denomination based on social issues, sexual morality issues, and, of course, the including of LGBTQ individuals in ordination. And so they're splitting over that. And so essentially what you have is churches who want to stay faithful to the Word of God and be able to think from there, and churches who are moving away from that, some slower, some very quickly. And so those will be faithful or have separated themselves to try to stay faithful in God's word.
Yep, we've seen similar splits in Canada as well, but it just goes back to standing on the authority of the Bible. So,
and, you know, I just want to end on this. People often say, well, as a church, aren't we supposed to have unity? Absolutely, we do have unity, but unity based in what? Rooted in what? Unity in the truth of God's word. All of it. That's where our unity lies, in a right understanding of God's word, reading the text in context, rightly applying that to our lives and the world around us. Our unity is found not in emotions, not in sentimentalism, not in our personal preferences. Unity is found in the truth of God's word, and we stand there.
Amen.
All right. Well, that's a good note to end on. Glad you guys are here today. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time. All right, guys.